All right, we're on our continuing series on Lessons from the Hill, and it's Jesus's longest discourse on how the kingdom operates and what it looks like. So to give you a little understanding of what's taking place, Jesus didn't come to fix the world. He didn't come to fix the nations and help out the countries and He came to establish a new kingdom. You need to look at Jesus as an explorer landing on a beachhead somewhere. Just get that in mind. Sticking his flag, which is really his cross, and battling the enemy that keeps people in bondage, which is sin and death, and of course, taking that power away from Satan, who rules this world and all its nations and countries that the Bible refers to as kingdoms, and he's establishing a new kingdom. He did not come to fix it. He came to take it over. The whole of the Old Testament is set up and designed telling us that the king is coming. This king is coming. Jesus in the New Testament comes, places his flag there, and now he's drawing people, not the lands, the people, by transforming the kingdoms that have been set up in their lives. And then ultimately we read towards the end and prophesied all through that he will literally take over the planet and it will be inhabited by his people. And they will rule with him forever and ever, and heaven will connect with the earth again. That's the big picture. So what Jesus did when he came to the earth 2,000 years ago, the first year of his ministry, he basically was by himself, going from place to place to place, speaking of this good news, this gospel, that the kingdom of God is among them. And then he demonstrated it with power over nature, power over disease, power, words of life. He did amazing things, and the people were blown away. During that time, crowds gathered to watch him from everywhere. And in those crowds, number of people that we would call disciples, students, started to follow Jesus. And then one day, Luke tells us, that Jesus went up on a hill, spent all night praying. All night he was in discussion with his Father of who would be the spearheads, the tip of the spear in that generation to go with Jesus and to go after him to start touching the world and impacting this world and looking for the lost to bring in to the kingdom. You know, in our generation, you're the tip of the spear. Every generation, God's kids that come to him are the tip of the spear to that generation. And where you make an impact is not in the world out there, it's in the world that you travel in. It is in the world of your influence. It is in the circle of your life where you and I are the tip of the spear to this world that is full of people lost and dying. So we pick this up in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, when it says this: one of those days, Jesus went up on a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him, and he chose 12 of them whom he designated apostles. He chose his initial leadership team, a small group of people who were collectively responsible for achieving a common objective for their king and his kingdom. And now he's going to begin to teach them the culture of this kingdom, how his kingdom operates and what it looks like. You know, all healthy communities flow out of a unified cause. All dysfunction takes place when we are not unified behind a cause, starting with ourselves. What causes conflicts, James tells us in Scripture, is when we have these battling causes inside of us that make us go to and fro and toss us all around. Marriages. What causes problems in the marriage is when the causes are not the same. What causes problems in any organization is when there's multiple causes and they're not unified behind a cause. What causes problems in a church is when the church isn't unified behind the cause. When Jesus said this, he says, listen, seek first the kingdom of God. Make that your cause, the cause of your life. Then he said, everything else will flow. You want your relationships to work? I want my relationship to work with Therese. My cause needs to be to follow God in that relationship. If she is following something else, we're going to have problems. If her cause is to follow the Lord in our relationship, our cause is united, things will start to flow. So all healthy communities, organizations, churches, clubs, you name it, have a unified cause. When it is divided, then we have division and disunity and all kinds of issues. Jesus tells these 12 guys, listen, you're my guys. You're the tip of the spear. And then when he gets done from bringing them up to the top of the hill, it says he traveled down to a level place and he started to teach his disciples what this kingdom looks like. And this needs to be your cause, he says. This is what you're to be unified in. Jesus' big cause is this, is shared in Luke 19:10. It says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He came to seek, look for, find the lost. And when you're lost, what do you want? You want to go home. You want to go home. You want to be safe. He says, the world to him is lost. I've come, he said, to seek and find those and bring them in. Not fix the world. Bring them into my family and then into kingdomship or citizens of the kingdom and then to join my cause in finding more lost. Then he starts to tell them the process of this. So the first, we can call it a beatitude, or the first lesson he gave, and we talked about it a couple weeks ago, was this. Looking at his disciples in Luke 6:20, he said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. He said, listen, you got to know you're poor. You got to know you're lost. Back in the day when I first started driving, we had a thing called Thomas Guides. It was right. I think those came along right after dinosaurs. And you know what? When I was driving and a guy gets lost, what's the last thing we admit? We're lost. We're lost. Nowadays, you got all the apps and you got, you know, the screens on your TV and it's easy. My day, we had to rough it. And, you know, we had to figure out. And I remember numerous times being lost with Teresa in the car. And she would say, go pull into a gas station, because apparently the gas station attendants knew where places were. But I had no trust in those guys. I don't need their input. I'm not taking any, you know. Guys are notorious. We are lost, but we're not asking for help. And so the first thing he said is, if you want to be found, you got to recognize you're poor. You're lacking. What is poverty? Poverty simply is lacking. You're lacking. In here, you're lacking out. You see lack, and you're in need. He says, that's the people I'm looking for. Why? Then you can be found. So we talked about this. Recognize you're lost and poor. Second beatitude, he says, listen, blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. You know what happens? He's basically giving a process of how the kingdom works. It starts out by recognizing you're in need. I'm a sinner. I can't help but sin. I get lost in stuff. I struggle. You know, a lot of times we act like we don't, but we do. And he says, you recognize that. Then God starts to work internally. Why? Because the kingdom of God is in you. Jesus' work right now, one day he'll rule the world. Right now he's gathering the kingdom people. Then what begins to happen is we come in, we're lost, and then we start to get this desire to do what is right. I don't want to do what's wrong anymore. I don't want to wrong people. I don't want to wrong myself. I just want to start doing right. He says, blessed are you who hunger for doing what's right. Not necessarily, I'm not talking about holy and doing a bunch of these. You just begin to say, I want to be a better person. I don't want to be doing the stuff that I used to do. I don't want to hurt people. And then we begin to desire that. And he says, you will be filled. It will start to flow into you. Then today we're going to look at the third thing he says to them. And this is what he says. He says, blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. This is a feeling action component. He says, what happens is you will begin to mourn or feel pain. You will, that's what stops many of us in our walk with the Lord, is we start to feel pain, and we have lived our lives not to feel pain. Buck up. Why do you think we do drugs? To anesthetize ourselves. We comfort ourselves with food. We do these things to not feel pain. We drop this relationship to go to that relationship, to go to this thing. We move around. We move. I hear people all the time, I got to get out of California, as if going to Georgia is going to make you okay. You're bringing you. What happens is we begin to feel. You know, when I was thinking of this week, and I read commentaries and looked at different things, and I said, what is the deal, God, with mourn and laugh? And then Matthew tells us, Matthew and Luke are the ones that keep this discourse of Jesus. They're the ones that recorded it for us. Matthew says, blessed are you who mourn, for you will be comforted. You know what? God spoke to me again. I mean, he spoke to me this morning. And this thing he spoke to me yesterday. We were doing a memorial service. I don't know about you guys, but God speaks to me at weird times. I'm thinking, you know, I'm sitting there and in the memorial service and stuff. And the Lord like, hey, you know that thing you were asking me the other day? Here's the deal, Joe. It's hope. It's hope. When people mourn, when people grieve, when people are in pain, what do they need? They need hope that this can change, that there is more. He says, listen, I am going to work in you. I'm going to remove the anesthetizing things, whatever they are. I'm going to start to work in your heart. And your pain, I'm going to tell you, there's hope for you. There is recovery. There is healing. There is a way out. See, without hope, we're lost in our pain. That's what suicide's all about. Suicide is the ultimate loss of hope that this will never change. Why do we quit relationships? Don't have any hope in them. We don't hope. You lose hope. That's when it ends. What does a lost person, what keeps a lost person out in the mountains going and moving and struggling? And we've seen movies about people like that and stuff like that. What do they always have? Hope. Once that hope is removed, they give up. And when you give up, you die. You don't care anymore. God awakens that in us. He starts to move in the feeling part of us. And we start to mourn. And then you know what happens? We start to get eyes for others. And we see they're hurting too. And all of a sudden, the way we look at the world, instead of isolating from it and protecting ourselves, because we're wounded. So we isolate, insulate, we change, we move, we cut off. We do all these things through pain. God starts to change that in us, and he starts to transform us and begin the healing. But don't fight that. Don't fight that. If you're sitting in here today and God is awakening feelings in you that you don't want to feel, he wants to heal that. He wants to restore that. He wants to do something in there. And then the next step is we start to move into actions. We start to see pain around us. And instead of just being sympathetic towards it, we start to move into doing something about it. See, that's how you minister to people in the kingdom of God. Moving into pain to help alleviate it is a God thing. And as members of his kingdom, and as family, even more intimate family members, he wants us to reflect that. And he reflects that in us. Listen, in Isaiah 42:3, Scripture tells us that this is the way God deals with us. It says, a bruised reed he will not break. If you want to look at your heart as a kind of a swampy place and reeds growing, there are bruised places. And you know, how many in here, you don't have to raise your hand. You can go like this to someone next to you if you want. How many of us, see, it doesn't say he will heal the bruised reed. He says he won't let it be broken. Because there are some things you're going to carry and struggle with your whole life. How many have asked God to deliver them from something? God, to change this thing in me. And you've been still dealing. Oh, you may have seasons of victory. And hopefully they grow longer. But you still find yourself that bruised reed. And you struggle with this thing, and you may struggle with it to the end. Why would God allow that? Because he wants to show you he's still holding you. A bruised reed he will not break. He will journey with you in it. And you know what that does for us? Gives us compassion for others. When they are going through massive struggles, long-term struggles, you begin to get compassion towards them. And when you're compassionate towards someone, you start to step towards it. You first recognize the pain. He says, listen, I won't even put out a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Even if there's just, it's at the end, it's not even glowing anymore. It's just a little bit of smoke. He says, I won't put that out. I will keep it. I will stay with it. That's an amazing statement of compassion of God toward people. He says, and then you are to show the same thing to others. He says, listen, in faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He is going to be faithful and do the just thing. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on the earth. He will work person to person to person till he's brought justice on the earth. And then he will rule the earth. He says, in this rule, this is a rule of God. Because the Beatitudes have oftentimes been expressed as law, as rules of the kingdom of God. He says, in this rule, the islands, all the land, from God's perspective, we're water and the land masses sit upon it. He says, in the law, in the islands will put their hope. See, when I have hope that God won't abandon me, I can keep going even when I mess up. If I lose that hope, and I know a number of us have been times in our lives lost that hope. You were doing good, you messed up, and then there's no hope for me. People don't even come to church because they don't think there's any hope with them. They just don't understand God. And what's sad sometimes is God's own kids act like I ain't no hope for that guy. Not God, we are the hope givers to the world. In fact, 1 Corinthians 1:3 says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." When you are in deep pain, you need comfort. And comfort has to do with hope. This isn't the end. There is more. There is more. You need to know that today. There is more. This isn't the end of anything. I don't know how the more will look like. I don't know how the recovery will look like. I don't know how the healing will look like. And like I said with you before, some things won't be healed this side of heaven. Why? Because it keeps us humble. Pride God is against. So if God healed everything in your life, even though we'd want it to be, huh? He goes, no. No, you'll think you're all that in a bag of chips. We're not going to roll like that. We're going to roll that you're as human as anybody else. And that you will always walk with a limp. But don't worry, I'm carrying you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's hope. That is hope. He says, listen, he comforts us in all our troubles. Doesn't say he takes them all away. So that we may comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. He says, listen, you are to be the tip of the spear of going and dealing with the pain of this world. You know what makes a marriage work? When you look at your spouse as a person in pain. That people always operate in pain. We're surrounded by it. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 9:35. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. The kingdom's here. I'm looking for people. The good news. What's the good news of it? Anybody can come in. Anybody is welcome. The marginalized, the misfits, the troubled, perfect. Just recognize it and want to do something about it. You can come in. I'll bring you in. Then I'll start the work in you to be kingdom citizens. I'll grow you up. What Paul would call maturing in the faith. I will grow you up. He says, and he was healing every disease and sickness when he saw the crowds. He had compassion on them. The word compassion means to be moved by pain. See, one of the things that our world teaches us is to ignore the pain. Is to, buck yourself up against the pain. Don't look at it. Don't acknowledge your own. He says, Jesus looked around and he saw that they were all in pain. They were all troubled. And then it says this, because they were harassed and they were helpless. They couldn't get out of it, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, he's got them with him, the harvest is plentiful. The hurting pained are all around you. But you know what the problem is? The workers are few. There are few that will get in to make a difference in the pain. Oh, people can point it out. Well, oh, that's wrong. That ain't right. She ain't right. He ain't right. The world, everybody can point it out. But being moved by pain means that I have become alive to feelings. When I can feel my feelings, I can hear your feelings. When I get my feelings alive, I become alive to your feelings. When I don't care about yours. I don't care. Homeless guy, same homeless guy every time. You guys should switch up a little bit. I'm tired of seeing you at the corner. I know. I know. There's only two of us that think like that. You know, what's crazy is the closer I get to Jesus, the more I see problems with me. You know what? I'm kind of on a compassion fatigue right now. It's like people tell me their problems. Like, I don't care. Deal with it. It's like, whoa. See, that's what compassion fatigue means. You're full. And what that also means is you think you're the one that's going to change them. You know, well, I remember when I was younger, another thing I've been noticing more, I cuss more than I ever have. I know. It's like, where did that come from? I still need Jesus. I still need, you know, and God showed me, hey, Joe, you're still attached to your flesh, buddy. And it's not like you're not going to be. I didn't cuss for years. Now it's like I can go a day or two maybe. I know, you guys are going, this is the last time we'll be at this church. Hey, because it takes me right back to the first one, that I'm poor in spirit. Oh my gosh, I'm poor. I thought I was richer than that. I thought I had it more together than that. I should have it. You know, then we start doing all that stuff. It's like, you know what? Hey, I got stuff going on with me. I remember when I was full of compassion driving the beer truck in my earliest days. And you know, I was known as the preacher. I never preached. I never went into the room with 40 other drivers. Thanks, everybody. You, back in the row. If you die tonight, do you know where you're going? I'd have got beat up. I just started walking it. Then guys would come and meet me in between the trucks. I'm 3 years into Jesus. I don't know nothing. I'm not sure where the New Testament begins and the Old Testament ends. I'm not sure. I'm just, you know, trying to get my own act together. And guys would come up to me and go, and they start telling me their problem. And it was just like, I don't know what to do, but I'll pray for you. It's hard. Well, tell me about when Therese left you. And I'd tell them a little bit about that. And, you know, what they were looking for was hope. And I told them, you know what? This is what I can do for you. I can pray for you. And tomorrow, come back here again. We'll hide good this time. And I'll pray for you again. And I'll just pray for you. I don't know. I don't have all the answers. And then, you know, and then God started. See, this is the thing. We don't have to be amazing. We just have to be available. And you don't even have to go. You know, I didn't get to share it earlier, and I'm not going to share it now, but I was going to tell you guys about the Good Samaritan. A lot of you know it, and after a while, you know, and this is a problem sometimes when we read Scripture, we become so familiar with the story, it doesn't impact us anymore. But in the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus was talking to religious leaders, and he said, listen, this is the deal. Compassion reaches out when there is pain. That's what God is about. And he used this Samaritan, a guy. And this was the crazy thing this about the Samaritan. He wasn't looking to help somebody. He was happened to be traveling on the road, and there was a beat up dude. What does that mean? That means you don't look for people to be compassionate to. They're all around. They're all around. They're on your journey. They're on the path you travel. And when God brings you into the pain of someone on the path you're traveling, that's your opportunity to help. And then you share your story. Don't ever share just the victories of your life, because that's a lie. You're struggling. Everybody struggles in here. At some level, is there anybody not struggling at some level? Anybody? Because I'd like to meet you, because you're the first one ever. You know, but see, this is why God doesn't always fix everything, so that we have great compassion. It tells us that Jesus in Isaiah 53, Jesus was familiar with suffering and a man of sorrows. He sorrowed in the pain he saw. He did something about it. He told his 12 guys, starting that day, He went on a two-plus year journey of teaching them the ways of the kingdom while he's dealing with their stuff. And if you read the book of Acts, you see that in chapter 11, Peter still got a lot of stuff. Paul had stuff. These guys didn't get it all right. Paul, at the end, when he writes in Timothy, he says, I haven't got it all yet. I'm still a work in progress. But forgetting that and moving into where I'm at right now, God help me. Because what God wants to do in you now is take you to a deeper level of healing, a deeper level of feeling. Why? Because the more you feel, the more you are able to feel what others go through. The less you feel, the less you care. I may know that's true. That's why we don't want to feel. They don't anesthetize you when you go in for a surgery because it doesn't hurt. They do it specifically because it's painful. But it gets you through it. When God awakens feelings, he moves us into action. And we get to be you. You don't know how special you are. You are the tip of the spear for this generation. No one's going to reach the people you're around besides you. You are the tip of the spear in that. Peter ain't here anymore. Paul's not here anymore. The word gives us the story of what it is. Your life is the living, as Paul would say, the living epistle, the living book of the Bible that this world sees. What do they see? What do they see? They only see what you let them see. That's what they see. I'll tell you what, God sees it all. He said, and he goes on to say this, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. He says, there are so many lost and in pain, and so few workers to help. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Then he saw the crowds. He had compassion on them because they were harassed and they were helpless. Third lesson Jesus gives them is, first, you need help yourself. When he finds you and brings you in, then he starts to build something that I want to do. I'm tired of doing the do that hurts. Me, others, life, I'm just done. And then he starts to bring us into the feelings. I want to restore that in you, all the walls you've put up, all your defense mechanisms, all the different ways you've handled pain that make you stoic in life. I'm hard. Nothing can hurt me. I can handle anything. I don't need to share nothing with anybody. I'm an island. He says, I'm going to break that down because you have no value to the kingdom in touching the world. Oh, you're in. You're there, but you're no value as being a tip of the spear. Because you know what? There's a lot of God's kids that will not be the tip of the spear. One of the most beautiful things I love about you guys and in this church is that we got lots of people that don't mind being the tip of the spear and getting into the mess with people. And it's messy and it's painful. It's painful when you hurt people, help people. Painful when you hurt them too, but it's painful when you help them. And, you know, and it's so much more tidy and clean to stay away and judge the world, the harvest. We already know the harvest is helpless and harassed. And there is no nation. That's the crazy thing about the kingdom of God. He's taken over. President Trump ain't going to fix us. How many know that? Barack didn't fix us. The guy, if the Lord tarries, the guy after him, there is no nation that's going to fix us. There is none. It's only God. And then he uses people to help one another. We get to help one another. And I'll close with this. The beautiful thing is, you don't even have to go out there and do it. Break down that thinking in your head that thinks of the world. Listen, you ain't ministering to anybody in Pakistan. Unless you're a missionary or any other place in the world. Because sometimes God's kids like to use that as their, well, you know, that's why we like to put certain pastors, certain groups in a high position. Oh, look what Billy Graham did. He spoke to millions. I'm not like Billy Graham. God didn't ask you to be him. He said, be the tip of the spear where you're at, starting in your family. Listen to the people in your family. Identify with their pain. And then do something about it. Identify with the pain of others. But first, identify with your own. Can't tell you how many people I meet that, you know, they get into a relationship because that person's going to meet their need. La, 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 la. And they come to find it. I'll give to them. How many of us dated? Dating's all about I'm showing you the false self. I love you. You're so awesome. You're so neat. No, the reason you're hanging with them is you think they're going to meet some need in you and they're going to fix you. Then you get married to them and it's like, God, they're a mess. They're not meeting needs. And I'll try to be good to them. But see, I'm doing it with an expectation that they'll give something back. And if they don't give it back, then, you know, then we got this thing going on. And there's now we become adversaries. God's kids in the church. How many churches are against other churches? We're not unified in the cause. We're not unified in reaching the lost and bringing them into the kingdom and teaching them how to do life. Exactly. We got that little one right there we're trying to teach. He's growing up right now. Is that Richie? Ah! It's awesome, man. Love the little ones. That kid's in for a world of pain. Growing up in this world, huh? It's like when they're born, it's like, oh, boy. I know. I it's so true. Every generation looks at the ones coming up and going, wow, you guys got it rough. I remember my mom saying, I would never want to do it over again. And when I was young, I was thinking, why wouldn't you want to do it over again? Why wouldn't you want to do it? Now that I'm older, it's like, I don't want to do it over again. I would definitely not want to do it over again. I'm looking to get out. Not to discourage you younger people, but you'll get there someday. These words will reverberate to you years from now, and you guys will go, that dude is smart. I get it. And, you know, because it's, here's my prayer for me. God, keep me feeling. Keep me feeling the pain of others. Because I don't want to go fatigued. And some of us, you know, I've been in the battle a long time, so I'm free. Some of us got fatigued at 33. Some of us got fatigued in compassion for ourselves and others at 18, 17. And we've been walking, blocking the world and our feelings out for a long time. And I'll tell you what, that's the root of where your stuff is. God has to awaken those feelings. And those are painful things. The reason we keep them away is because they're painful. We don't want to experience it. But it's only when you bring it out that it can get healed. And see, that's the hope we give to the world. Hey, brothers, I know you're in trouble right now. I know this is devastating. I don't know how to fix it, but I know God can get you through it. You need to deal with it. You need to work through it. You need to do what you got to do because there's hope. How come there's hope, Joe? Look at me. Then you get to tell them your story. Then they get hope because that's what we are. We're bearers of hope. We're hope to a lost, troubled, dying world. And you don't even have to go anywhere to find it. You just have to go to work. You just have to hang out with people. They're lost. Ask God, give me. I see. You know, see, this is one last thing I'll say. I always say that, but it's never true. God will give you the eyes to see the hurt in people. Your job then isn't to jump in. Your job is to say, God, what do you want me to do here? What do you want me to do? And sometimes it's just pray by yourself for them. Sometimes it's just love them. Sometimes it's just letting them vent. You know, see, compassion fatigue comes in is when you take it on yourself to fix the situation. Oh, I know what you need to do. Because you know what happens when you start telling somebody what they need to do and they don't do it? Now I'm pissed. Now I'm mad at you. And now I got to do different things to show you that. I don't have to fix you. I just have to be available. So here's what you can do. When you see something going on in your sphere of influence and there's an opportunity, ask what you can do. What can I do to help you? Is there anything I can do to help you? Pray for sure. Is there anything I can do to help you? Man, it looks like you're troubled. You want to talk? You don't have to, you know, you don't have to fix them. You just have to be available. And their eternal destiny, that's in God's hands. My gosh, that used to kill me, man. I used to try to, you know, save people all day long. Then when I didn't, it was like, tried, Lord. It's like, it's his job. He said, I'll build my church. He said, you get in the harvest field and love them. As Chris said earlier, you get in there and you be a blessing to this community. You be united to the cause of Christ. What would he have you do? Do it. And your feelings get healed. It's weird. We get healed in the process. Amen? I can keep going. Everybody got the point? How many want to get out there and get in the harvest field? That's 9 of us. Now I'm mad at people. How many are willing to be a worker in the harvest field God has you in? All right, why don't we stand up? Stand up. Put your hands up. God needs to see them. He wants to know who's in the job. All right. Say, I want to do your will, Lord. I want to be feeling my inner life. And I want to see... You know, Lord. We want to be about your business. In Jesus' name. God bless you guys. Have a great day.